This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn DeGeek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Wendy Ying from Sarasota, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 5th, episode 1946. This episode is brought to you by our auditors. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
Your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between, and the fence isn't there for you to straddle, and you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, good morning, everybody. I know you weren't expecting to hear Wendy's voice today, because this is normally the first Tuesday of the month is normally jumping day. But unfortunately, Emily is a bit under the weather, still involving her head injuries, and she's still battling that. And apparently the hotter it gets, the worse it gets. So she was not able to do this month. She'll try and do again next month. We're really playing it on a month-by-month basis with as far as her health is concerned. And we're wishing her the best and thinking good thoughts for her, because head injuries are never fun. And Wendy is filling in today. Thank you so much for filling in at the last minute here, Wendy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
And of course, Wendy is going to be here again on Thursday, because we have moved the driving radio show basically to Horses in the Morning on the first Thursday of every month. So this Thursday will be the first driving episode of Horses in the Morning. And we'll be talking driving with a bunch of guests, as well as some Chinese medicine. So you'll get your Chinese medicine fix and your Wendy fix all here on Horses in the Morning this Thursday. Are you excited about the change?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I'm totally excited. I think we're going to have a lot more new topics. And I think I'm excited about our first about our Chinese medicine segment this week, because we're going to talk about feeding your horse seasonally and ideas for treats and whole foods you can add to your diet to help your horses deal with the different seasons.
Very good. Sounds like fun. And that'll all be coming up this Thursday. So look for that. The Draft Horse episode has been put on hold for a while. Draft Horse Digest people have gotten extremely busy, so it was getting more and more difficult to plan the episodes. We're trying to bring it back in another form. So you Draft Horse lovers out there, keep your ears open. We haven't forgotten about you, and we're going to try and do something
else. We'll still have some drafts on the driving show, though.
Yeah, because guess what? I got to drive a draft last week. So, you know, we're definitely going to still be talking about drafts. They're my favorite. So we have to. It's required.
Yeah.
Well, Jennifer is going to tell us what's coming up on today's show.
Coming up on today's Amusing Adventures from Everyday Horse People Tuesday edition, Victoria Racimo brings us the story of a champion race mare that inspired a horse-crazy teenager to create Our Mims Retirement Haven, one of the early on thoroughbred rehab and adoption outfits that did it before it was cool. And then next up, our auditor Haley just got back from riding horses in Portugal, and she's going to tell us all about it. And then wrapping up the show, auditor Jessica is just starting her horse adventure across the United States, and we're going to hear about how the prep is going and what her plan is, or if she even has a plan. So stay tuned for the fray. Oh.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because when we started, and you'll remember this, Wendy, when we started way back when, 10 years ago, started the Horse Radio Network, I always said that I believe that every horse person has a story. Well, today we get two of our auditors on that have stories. It's kind of proving that to be true. Horse person does have a story. We all do incredible, neat things at times, and it's fun to highlight the listeners who are doing cool things.
That's what I love about our auditors group, because you get to see all these fun things that everybody's doing with their horses.
Yeah, that is true. and in a safe environment. So, hey, before we go on to our daily winnies, I do have some serious news here. Everybody will remember Jaunty Evans. We all helped him buy his horse, remember? We all helped him raise a $500,000 to buy his horse. It's called the People's Horse, Art. And Jaunty and Art were sitting in second place going into cross country at Tattersall's over the weekend when he took a spill on a horse in a 3-star. Was it the same? Was it Art, Jennifer? Or a different horse?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was Art.
I don't know if that was really clear.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't know if that was clear, but on the jump 19B in the cross country at Tattersall's, his horse basically caught a leg on the brush, and Jaunty fell off the horse's left side. The horse was uninjured in the fall, but Jaunty was injured, and after a 25-minute hold-on course, they transported him to the hospital. He is now in the neuro-intensive care unit at Beaumont Hospital in Dublin. So, I mean, it has to be somewhat serious, I would think, to be in the neuro-intensive care unit. And I assume that means head injury, Wendy?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Head or spinal cord injury.
Yeah, one of the two. There were two other falls at that particular jump. William Fox Pitt fell off there. And then Phoebe Lockie fell off there as well. No other injuries were reported at that jump, but apparently it was one that it was like an angled jump that was catching horses off guard a little bit. So we wish the best to Jaunty and hope he can get back in the saddle soon and hope everything is well. Boy, we're talking a lot about head injuries and neuro stuff today. Well, my daily winnie's a little happier than that. We have three auditor birthdays between yesterday and today. Desiree Johnson, Chantel, our friend Melanson, and Mogi Bearden Muller. It's her birthday as well. So happy birthday to all three of them. We also want to congratulate one of our terrific auditors, Richard Alvey. He chose Arabs, and he won a contest from the Arabian Horse Association for Arabian Horse of the Month with his horse. He loves his horses. And then he found out that he's also featured in the Arabian Horse Association's promotional full-page ad, and there's a picture of him and his horse, and it's so good. So congratulations to him. Richard, you've done a great job with those horses, and I know you love them dearly. We've had Richard on the show before. So nice work with your Arabians.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And happy birthday.
It's always more fun, too, when you're surprised, you know, about that kind of stuff. All right, your turn.
Oh, well, my daily Winnie is to my friend and fellow carriage driver, Nancy Gauthier, because she just wrote a new murder mystery thriller all about carriage driving and horses. So, Glenn, I don't know if you know it, but we carriage drivers are a small group. So I'm super excited to read this because
it's a murder mystery that involves carriages, or did the carriage commit the murder?
Well, I don't know. We're going to find out. We're going to find out. It's called The Near Wheeler, A Killer Carriage Collection. And it, like I said, it's by Nancy Gauthier. And the cover is by photographer Lisa Senes, who is also a carriage driver. But like I said, our world is so small. I'm sure these characters, we're going to read them and we're going to know exactly who she's talking about. So I'm very excited about this. I hope Barry's in it. My friend Barry Dickinson.
Yeah, Barry should be in it.
He has to be in it.
That's funny. Well, a couple of things before we go on, before we get to our first guest. We have lots of guests today. There was an interesting article in the New York Post. I should post a link to it on our Horses in the Morning page. And it's about the secrets of the NYPD's horse cops. And it really, I don't know how many secrets were in here, but it really went through how they train and what they do for training and who they look for. It was just an interesting article about the horse cops in New York City. It was the New York Post that did it, and I'll post a link to that on our Facebook page. You can all see that. It was just kind of cool. The other thing is, there's an interesting story out of the football world and the racing world. You know, Belmont's coming up, right? We have a chance for a Triple Crown winner this Saturday.
I know. Exciting.
I know. Well, and we're going to be talking about thoroughbred horses with Victoria here in a minute, one from the past. But do you know the name Rob Gronkowski?
No.
Okay. So Rob Gronkowski is a Patriots player, football player. He's 6 foot six.
How am I going to know football players?
Well, he's 6 foot six. He's 265 pounds. He's a tight end and he is very good at what he does. Well, he is also the name of a horse. He heard about a horse that had his namesake, and the horse's name was Rob Gronkowski, and he heard about this horse that was named after him, and he said, well, you know, that's kind of cool, but, you know, instead of, you know, doing what most people do, which is just, you know, oh, that's kind of cool, he actually bought a piece of the horse. So
that's good.
He turned around and bought a piece of the horse, and that horse is going to be running in the Belmont Stakes on Saturday.
No way.
So we have a pro bowler. He's so excited. He said, the horse is a winner, and I love a winner. And the horse is also huge. Stands 16'3 and weighs 1,200 pounds. He's a big thoroughbred, apparently very bony, very stocky. He's owned by Phoenix Thoroughbred. And they're very proud of him. They said he's an intelligent horse. He's a big boy. Has a great huge stride. So we're going to see that. We're going to see that on Saturday play out. And this horse is out of Australia. So it's just a cool kind of story. You know, it's just a neat story about a football player and a horse. And I guarantee, you know how they do the 14 hours of pre-show before the big races on Saturday?
Oh, yeah. I love that. There's a lot of crying for me watching those.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Rob certainly is going to be in there. I'm sure there'll be a big story about him. Also, a congratulations to Andrew Nicholson, the eventer. He was awarded the Officer of New Zealand Order of Merit for services to the equestrian sport in the Queen's birthday year, this year, 2018. He's on the Queen's birthday honor list for 2018 as a distinguished event rider in New Zealand. So
that's
congratulations
exciting.
To him. I'm sure that comes with a cool medal, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that comes with a really cool medal you get to.
That's better than the ribbon you get.
Right, exactly.
Dollar ribbon.
Exactly. Queen always has cool medals that you're supposed to wear whenever you're going meet the Queen, which, you know, is once in a lifetime. But yeah, so that was a cool story too. And congratulations to Andrew Nicholson. He certainly does deserve that. He's been riding for a very long time. And if you missed yesterday's show, go back and take a listen to it. We had a lot of fun yesterday. And we talked about, I wanted to remind everybody, go to your DVRs. And if you haven't, Wendy, you should go tape, make sure you record Dark Horses. It's a documentary about Sunday Silence and Easy Goer, the rivalry Sunday Silence and Easy Goer back in the late 1980s.
Can I stop you there?
Yeah.
If we were back in the 1980s, I might tape it, quote unquote,
record it. Okay, record it.
But we don't tape things anymore, Glenn. You have to stop saying that. I've had to break that habit because my text look at me, my 20-year-old text, and my little brother look at me like, what are you talking about?
Okay, record it. Yeah, and it's on a couple times this week, so you'll find it. You just search for Dark Horses. It is an excellent documentary. So
that was a great time. That was a great time.
It was. And that rivalry, I don't know that we've had one that was quite like that since because of the people involved and the horses involved. Yeah. It was just everything came together to make it what it was.
And whoever the announcer was, I don't remember the guy's name, but
Tom
he was
Durkin.
So exciting.
It's Tom Durkin. Yep, yeah. And he's in this documentary.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, so you'll see his take on the whole thing too. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of racing, let's go to our next guest. We have a big. We are bringing. Let me go to the right page here. I just went to Dark Horses. We have Victoria Racimo on the show, and Victoria did a documentary. We're talking a lot about documentaries today, and it was the winner of the Equus Film Festival Best Director Award this past year, and it's also about a particular horse, the 1977 Eclipse Award-winning champion filly R. Mims, and R. Mims has a a interesting story that tugs at the heartstrings, and Victoria was the one to tell that story. Hi, Victoria. Good morning.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Wendy.
Now, good morning.
Victoria, before we get to our MIMS, I got to talk to you about something else, and that is you just published a book called All the King's Horses, The Equestrian Life of Elvis Presley, right?
Yes.
Well, we did a show. I think we're the only radio show to ever do a live show in the barn at Graceland. We were set up right in the barn with the horses, and we did our live morning show, Horses in the Morning, from there. And it's one of my favorite memories of all the shows we've ever done, because we had the lady on, you probably know her name, and I can't remember right now, who actually has been around there for 30 years, knew all about Elvis and his history, and spent an hour and a half with us talking to us about it. Were you as fascinated as we were by just how involved in horses he was?
Well, that's the impetus for us having written the book, because I realized that if someone of the stature and the fame and the stardom and the greatness of Elvis Presley found peace and solace and comfort and joy in working and loving and having a horse, that would be a wonderful way to let the world know that horses are so wonderful and such wonderful creatures for humans to become attached to. And when I discovered he had this love for horses, we dug and dug and dug and discovered not only did he have the barn and the famous group of horses at Graceland, but he went south down to Memphis, down to Mississippi, and built the Circle G Ranch, where he then made more barns to hold more horses to share with his friends. So the whole story was just such a complete revelation, and I was able to bring both worlds, the equine world and Elvis Presley, together.
And, you know, there's some funny stories. I remember her telling a story how he used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He used to wake everybody up, you know, his crew that was hanging out with him. He used to wake everybody up, and they used to go driving around the countryside, Wendy. And if he saw a horse he'd like, he'd go knock on their door at like 3 o'clock in the morning and offer to buy it. Just
no
buy
way.
It on the spot.
Absolutely. Yes, it's a true story. I mean, when his love was for a Palomino. He kept looking for the right Palomino, and mm-hmm. people would bring him different horses, and none, you know, was the magic one. And then one night he did go knocking at a farmer's door at 3 a.m, and he said, "I heard you do have a Palomino. May I see it?" And of course, the man's jaw dropped, because there's Elvis Presley standing in his doorway asking to look at his horse. So it turned out to be the horse of his dreams, and he named it the Rising Sun.
Oh.
And he loved that song, and he loved that horse, and that was his favorite horse, Rising Sun, a beautiful Palomino. And that was he took that horse everywhere, from Graceland down to Circle G.
And there's still a Palomino on the property, and there always has been since the day he died. There's been a Palomino on the property of Graceland.
His honor.
Yep, that's right. Well, yeah. I can't wait to read this book, just because of what little we learned. Did you get to see the book that he wrote, all of the horses, where he kept a journal of all the horses he bought?
No. We did see, we saw a facsimile of it. We didn't actually touch and turn the actual page.
Yeah, we got to do that, and that was fascinating, because he actually recorded everything. Knowing what we did about Elvis, I was surprised he actually did that, but apparently when it came to horses, he was methodical. And the barn was his place. If he was heading out to the barn, you had to be invited, or you weren't allowed out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how
and
I feel.
There are
I do.
There are still scratches on the stall posts. He would talk about, he would write about how much more hay had to be ordered. He would write about how much the horse had eaten. He scratched little notes into the wood of the stall, and he would sign. He signed their receipts of his ordering supplies and tack and different things for the horses. He would be out there in the middle of the night grooming the horses himself. And down at the Circle G in Mississippi, he was actually part of building the barns. I mean, literally putting and nailing the woods together and painting. So he was totally devoted to it. He was not one of the stars who just had a team take care of his horse and then bring the horse out for him to get on. He really took care of his horses.
And one last story, and then I want everybody to go out to buy the book. It's called All the King's Horses, The Equestrian Life of Elvis Presley. And I haven't read it yet, but I'm sure this is in there. He used to love to ride, hell-bent for election, down to the gate. And at the gate at Graceland, there was always fans. When he was there, there were fans. And he used to sign autographs over the gate, which was pretty low. I was surprised how low the walls were, actually. He used to sign autographs, and then his favorite thing to do was turn around and ride the Palomino at a dead gallop back to the barn. That was his favorite thing to do to impress everybody. I'm sure that's in the book. It's one of the stories from Elvis, but I can't wait to read it. It's All the King's Horses. Is it available on where can they buy it?
Oh, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, all the main, outlets and venues. It's all over the place. You can buy it any of those name brand places.
Well, congratulations on writing that, and I think it was long overdue. I know the folks at Graceland, and I know his daughter. They called us years ago to come down because they were really trying to highlight the fact that he loved horses. It was part of their mission, and it wasn't out there enough. And so I'm sure they're thrilled that you wrote this book and are getting the word out there. So,
yes, they are. And also I might add that when folks buy the book, they'll be so pleased because we have over 40, 45 pictures in there. Most of them have never been seen before because we were able to get them from private collections and from fans all over the country, and there are intimate pictures of him in the barn with the horses, just quiet solo riding, pictures that just are exclusive to the book itself. So I think that the pictures alone in color and black and white will knock people's socks off.
All right, Jennifer, we have to order that book today. So let's make a note of that.
All right.
All right. That's not even why we had you on, but it just was fascinating when I saw that. So now you did a little film. Tell us about the film and about the horse that it's about.
Well, it started out to be a little film. I was driving across country because I love horses, and I stopped along the way in Kentucky just to visit horse farms, and I discovered something called a retirement home or, rehab for horses. I hadn't known that it existed. This is about 5-6 years ago. And someone told me that I should go visit a lady who had a wonderful farm in Paris, Kentucky, devoted to taking care of the older broodmares who had been, racing stars in their own kind, whether as, in the breeding shed or as on the track. And so I went out to visit a place called R. Mims Retirement Haven in Paris, and the lady's name was Jeannie Mirabito, and I asked her, why is this so special? Well, this is the story. It is an amazing, true love story between a woman and a horse that resolved in leaving behind a legacy, one of the first and only retirement havens devoted to broodmares, taking care of them. Because, we all know the stallions. We all appreciate what they are after their racing careers. But we seldom realize how important the other half of the baby is the mama. And the teenage girl, Jeannie Mirabito, way back in the 70s, walks into the living room and discovers a race is on television and her brothers are watching it, and she falls in love with a horse. She sees the horse on TV and she says, "Oh my God, I love that horse." You know how teenage girls love horses. She said, "I love that horse." So she said to her brothers, "Someday I'm going to own that horse." And the brothers said, "Yeah, sure, you're going to own that horse." She said, "Yeah, I'm going to own that horse, and I'm going to own that farm." Well, flash forward 21 years later, her husband and three children later, and after her husband had been moving around the country teaching at different universities and colleges, different cities, 5 states later, they moved to Kentucky, and Jeannie gets a part-time job working on a farm. And one day she goes out there with her coworker, and they're working in the farm, and you know, the cattle and things are around. And all of a sudden, she hears this incredible stampede of a horse galloping the way she never heard any horse run straight to her. The horse reared up and comes down, strikes the fence post behind her head, and breaks the fence post. And she fell to her knees, and she figured I was going to die. She said, I wanted to know but the name of the instrument of my death. And so she turned to her coworker and she said, who's that? And he said, oh, that's our Mims. And she said, the great our Mims. And it turned out that this was the champion 1977 3-year-old filly who won the coaching club, the Oaks. She won many, many races and became the first horse for the Calumet Farm to bring home the Breeders' Eclipse Award also. And she had born several, you know, babies, foals. And, of course, then as she got older, became incapable of giving birth. So they retired her out. But she was left on a cattle farm. And she was neglected. She was not cared for. Jeannie discovered that this is the horse that she had one day said that she was going to own. Well, through the course of time, she found a way to have this horse adopted. And in that adoption process, you have to fill out a paper saying, what's the reason for the adoption? What are you going to do with the horse? Why do you want the horse? When Calumet found out that she was available, that she was still alive and she was around, they put in for adoption. Three Chimneys, Robert Clay, found out that she was available. They wanted her for adoption because they knew how wonderful a horse she had been. And Jeannie Mirabito put in for an adoption. She didn't even have a stall. She didn't have a manure spreader. She didn't have a farm to take care of the horse. But on the one line, it says, intention use of the horse. And she put worship. And she got the horse. And it was just fate. And so I heard this story, I said, oh my God, this is a wonderful story. So I thought, well, this is a wonderful place to haven. It's like that God's little patch on earth. So I said, well, let me try to make a little video to put on your website to let people know about the haven. I'll take, you know, live pictures and put it up and make a little film. Well, I started it out with a 5-minute film, and then I had so much material, I found out that Jorge Velasquez, the jockey of Aladar, rode our Mims in all of her winning races, championship races. I found out that Barbara Livingston adored our Mims and had seen our Mims and Aladar together practicing on the Oklahoma track.
And she's of course, the famed photographer of the race world, Barbara Livingston. Yeah.
Absolutely. And many, many overtime, many times, Eclipse Award winner. And then I discovered that Penny, the great Penny Chenery, had not only known about our Mims, but had actually gone out to visit Jeannie and visit our Mims at the farm, at the haven. So I said, wait a minute, this is not a 5-minute little video on a website. So it grew into a 20-minute film and then a 30-minute film. So now it is a full feature documentary film. And it tells the whole story. It has interviews with Jorge. It has interviews with, in fact, it has probably one of the last wonderful special interviews with Penny Chenery herself on camera talking about our Mims. And she says in the film that if she had a caretaker, that she would want someone like Jeannie taking care of her. And of course, Barbara Livingston talks extensively about how our Mims lived on the haven. Now, when our Mims passed away, I think it was in 2004, Jeannie couldn't function. She just, this was the love of her life other than her family. And she didn't think she could go on. But she realized that she had a place in the horse world to take care of these broodmares. And And the wonderful story that I won't tell about now, but because I want people to get the film and see the film. But Barbara Livingston was very instrumental in helping Jeannie realize that she had to, it was God's work to have her do something with her talent, which is an instinct and a caring for the broodmares. And so then the legacy of Our Mim's Retirement Haven came to be. She then formed the Haven. She became a nonprofit organization. They started pulling in the race mares that were retired from, the breeding shed. And she has now gotten such a reputation, and people come from all over the country and all over the world to visit her and to visit the horses there. And she is, I am astounded by the genius and the brilliance of how Jeannie connects with the horses. It's not just taking care of the horses and they don't all get the same feed. Each horse gets, of course, as you know, the special feed for their needs. And some of her horses, the horse that I first met and fell in love with, Timeless Sue, passed away at 33. Her other horses are, she has a system where if you're 25, I believe you get, I forget what color. I know when you're at over 30, you get a red blanket, a purple blanket. And then when you hit 25, I think you get a red blanket. There's a series of colors so that you can see in the field how old each horses are. It's quite an amazing place. The cemetery is not the standard cemetery with headstones. Each one, she buries the horses live, full body, and there are huge, beautiful stones that she picks out particularly for each horse that kind of is the color and gives her the sense of who that horse's personality was. And it's a very serene and yet dynamic place to visit.
Well, she was one of the first, actually, to do this kind of rescue, before it became a thing. That's what I remembered.
Yes. That was what was so interesting, because she didn't have even, as I said, she didn't even have the manure spreader, the farm and the barn. It was an old tobacco barn that they converted quickly to get Our Mim's bring her home. And
what great work, because you're right. That is, we all talk about the stallions, and the stallions always end up finding a home, right? They either stay at the big farm where they're doing their duties, or they end up, at the Kentucky Horse Park or someplace like that in the champion's barn. And, they're usually in good shape, but you never hear what happens to the broodmares after. And, and most of the broodmares have not been ridden, most of them. They've been just used for broodmares. And I'm so glad that this place exists. We're going to have her on next week, as I understand it, too. We're going to have Jeannie on to talk about that, but I want to talk to you a little bit more about One Day. And it's onedayhorsefilm.com is where you can order your copy to see this amazing story. What was the one thing about Our Mim's that surprised you when you were working on this that you went, wow, I didn't expect that?
You mean of the film? Or
Making of the film, yep.
In making of the film. The biggest takeaway that I had was very emotional, that the work that Jeannie does is profound, and it opened up a world of deep connection to horses that goes way, way deep. I have pictures of when one of the horses passed away. It is just a heartrending picture that's in the film, but when that horse passed away, three of the horses, in fact, she has Elmhurst, who is the grandson of Our Mim's, who was the 1997 Breeders' Cup Sprint winner. She has him. He's the only male on the farm allowed because it's a broodmare farm. But I have a picture of him and two other horses standing with their heads bowed in front of the open stall with the door open, because they knew that horse had passed. And the grieving that went on the farm for a long time, astounded me, absolutely hit me to the core, because there was living proof that horses could feel not only something about themselves, something personal, but they had such compassion and such an understanding, even more than maybe many humans, of what losing one of their own meant. And they were in deep grief, and you could hear some of them wailing and crying. It was astounding to me, and it shook me to my core, as I said.
Well, I got to tell you, I just got a couple messages from live listeners. We have this thing called a tissue alert, where we always warn people if they're going to need tissues before a film.
I'm having a tissue.
Yeah, I think you're going to need tissues for this one, people. I think it is a tissue alert film. It sounds like, well, and in a good way. Let's tell everybody where they can find it again.
Yes, it's onedayhorsefilm.com. All one word, onedayhorsefilm.com. You can get Blu-ray or DVD, either one.
onedayhorsefilm.com. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this as we're going to do a follow-up interview with Jeannie. And I think that's next week.
May I add, Glenn and Wendy, that I made the film for the retirement haven, and proceeds from purchase of the film go to the haven. This film is not a commercial film in the sense that, I'm going to play it in the theaters and have popcorn. This film was made for the haven to raise funds for the haven to take care of the future horses that needed help. So that was my gift to Jeannie and the haven, and to the concept of we must take care of our horses.
All right, very good. So not only are you getting a piece of entertainment, learning about a piece of history, but you're also supporting a very worthwhile cause. Victoria, thank you so much for doing what you do. Now I got two things. I got to order One Day, and I got to order All the King's Horses, The Equestrian Life of Elvis Presley. You're keeping me busy here.
That's right.
All right, thanks, Victoria. Appreciate it. And congratulations on winning the Best Director at the Equus Film Festival. There were a few films entered, like a lot of films entered. So good job with that. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you. Right, thank bye-bye. You. Take care. Bye-bye, all.
How cool is that? Had you ever gone out there when you lived there to Paris to see this?
No, I didn't know about this place. You know what? When she was telling this story, I got chills. Then, of course, I started tearing up. Every time they talk about Penny Chenery, I always get all teary-eyed, because I think it's so great that, you know, I love these brood mares too. And I think it's so great that these people all wanted to. Oh, no, I know when I teared up. When Jeannie wrote on her thing that she was going to worship her.
Yeah.
That's so nice. Yep. So I'm so happy for the horse when people love them like that.
Well, let's go talk to our next guest. But before I do, I want to talk a little bit about our sponsor for today. And our sponsor is our auditors. And we have a couple auditors coming up on the show today. So what do you get for becoming an auditor? You get to be part of a terrific community. That's the biggest thing you get. The Facebook group, the HRN auditors page, is only for auditors. And you can be an auditor for as little as $1 a month. And what happens with that money that's donated by the auditors is half of it goes to operations of the Horse Radio Network. So you're helping support the network, in addition to our advertisers helping. You know, the bigger we get, the actual more expensive it gets to operate this thing, because we have to pay more for bandwidth and for everything that we do. And then the other half of that money gets divided up amongst our hosts, people like Wendy.
Yay!
So, and Wendy, you see a raise every month, right? Because of it.
Yeah.
You get a little bit more every month, and that's because we have more and more auditors coming on every month, and we're going to start talking a lot more about that, because I think some of you have been thinking about becoming an auditor, and we've had a lot of new ones in the last couple of weeks while we were on vacation. So apparently it takes us going on vacation for people to get motivated to become an auditor. I don't know. Maybe I should just go on vacation for a whole month.
I also like the auditor. No, you can't go on vacation for a whole month. I like the auditors get fit group, and I like the auditors with dogs.
There's all kinds of auditor pages, aren't there? There's an auditor tax selling page, and it's a very it's a very safe group. People talk about very personal things in the auditor room because they know they're going to get supported and they're not going to get criticized or judged, and that's part of
no trolls.
That's correct, and we've never had one in there actually. So
no.
So we're very excited about everybody who's become an auditor, and we're going to get to meet one of those now. Why don't you introduce her?
All right. Our next guest is Haley Clemens, and she is just back from an incredible trip to Portugal, and she was riding all through the mountains. So welcome, Haley. I'm so excited to talk to you about your trip.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on.
Now, how did you find out, how did this all start? You just said, I'm going to Portugal, or did you go specifically for riding?
Actually, it was a family trip. My fiance, Nathan, his mom and stepdad wanted to do a big family trip with us and Leon's daughter, Kristen, and her boyfriend. So that's Nathan's stepsister and her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And she's a big horse girl too, as am I, but nobody else in the group is. So she kind of took it upon herself to scout out some horsey stuff just for her and I. And, you know, if we could include everyone, that would have been great. But there wasn't a lot to choose from. So she stumbled upon Terra Una, which was the company that we went with. And it was for experienced riders only. And so just mm-hmm. the two of us could go on this trail ride. And at first I was a little nervous because I'm a lot less experienced than her. I've actually only been riding for about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And so I started as an adult learner. So I was like, experience, that's kind of a daunting word. How experienced do they mean?
Right.
But I sent them some emails just to double check that I would fit in there and that it wouldn't be too much for me. And they were mm-hmm. super responsive and really good. And they're like, no, they reassured me that I'd be fine. And I asked for, you know, like an easier horse.
Right.
And they set me up with a horse named Yaz. And she was so, so kind and wonderful. She took wonderful care of me. And Kristen, on the other hand, who has a lot of experience, wanted someone more fiery and challenging. And they also gave her the perfect horse for her named Carmen, who kept mm-hmm. her on her toes the whole ride.
Oh, my God.
Let me guess, an Andalusian gray? Yeah, so. Gray Andalusian?
They are Lusitanos.
Oh, Lusitanos. Okay.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, and I believe they breed them all themselves. Yeah, so it's. Yeah, they're right from the ground up doing everything.
I bet your friend Kristen was wishing she asked for the slow one like you had, the nice one, instead of Carmen, the wild girl.
Actually, you know what? She wasn't. She, like, had so much fun, but that's what she wanted because she had to be on her toes. And it was kind of funny. Antonio, our guide, who was, you know, he spoke very little English.
Okay, was that his real name or was Antonio his stage name?
Was he hot? He was a little older, but I could definitely see, like, I don't remember if I posted a picture of him or not. I will if I didn't, but I could see some ladies being interested for sure.
Yeah.
He's maybe a little bit, like, not in my age range, but yeah, I can see it.
If they want to get more people on these tours, they need some eye candy leading these rides on their Lusitanos.
Absolutely. I mean, the horses are eye candy enough for me, but I agree.
So what was the what was the trails like? What was the terrain like? I've never been to Portugal, so I have no idea what it's like.
It was incredible and constantly changing. I didn't have my phone out very much because it was actually in a fanny pack that was under my shirt, so it was hard to get at. So I only took a few pictures, and I wish I could have got more, but I actually just wanted to live in the moment and look around and enjoy myself too. It was constantly changing. It was incredible. We were on some path, and we'd actually come across, you know, motorbikes, a couple of cars even, lots mm-hmm. of cyclists, joggers, and things like that, which was kind of interesting. How we'd be going by homes in the hills. And, yeah, and lots of, like, very steep terrain as well. And the horses did wonderful. So, you know, you just lean way forward or lean way back, depending if you're going up or down. It was pretty cool. I've never experienced that before. And the terrain was also, like, really lots of crevices and stuff. And the horses were so, so sure-footed. I couldn't believe it. And my personal favorite was we at one point, were kind of in, like, a field with grass that came up past the horse's bellies, like, up to, I want to say knees. Like, at this point, I might be saying the fish was this big, you know?
Right, right.
But my memory was that it was so high. I couldn't believe it. It was actually, like, what I dream about when I'm thinking about my ideal hack, you know, like galloping through a field. It was exactly that. Like, it was
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't believe it. And yeah, so we rode up for about 2.5 to 3 hours. And I have to say, like, the terrain was constantly changing. It never got boring. We were going here and there and everywhere. And the view was constantly changing. And the roads or the path sometimes narrow, sometimes a little bit wider. But, we always felt safe. I'm very afraid of heights. And that was another question I had for them. I was like, because they call them mountains, right? Portuguese mountains.
Right.
So I was like, oh my gosh. Like, what am I getting myself
You're picturing
into?
The Rockies or the Alps? Yeah.
And also I was picturing, like, very narrow path, and there's, like, a cliff on one side.
You were picturing,
right?
Tevis.
That's what I pictured. Yeah, terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Like, I would probably have a panic attack. I wouldn't be able to do it. So I asked them, and they reassured me that no one's ever felt uncomfortable. But if I'm really afraid of heights, you're like, yeah, maybe not for you. But I was like, no, it'll be fine. If it's not real mountains, I'll be fine. And it wasn't. Like, they were really nice hills. We went quite high so that we had beautiful views of Lisbon and, you know, the surrounding properties. Absolutely stunning, but never ever was I uncomfortable. I was always felt safe and sound and relaxed.
So you were close enough to the city that you could actually have views of the city, but you were still out in the country riding, huh?
Yeah. It was about an hour Uber from the heart of Lisbon, which was where we were staying. And I mean, don't mark my words, because I could have been looking out at something else too.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But yeah, you could see a lot of city and a lot of terrain. And I'm pretty sure it was Lisbon. Yeah.
It's so great you can Uber out to go ride.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. You're in Portugal and here you are Ubering to your farm to go ride. Lusitanos.
We Ubered everywhere. Yeah. And actually, we came across some other horsey stuff too. I mean, it was pretty funny. Me and Chris and our heads would just like turn and we'd just be locking eyes with any horse that we saw. It was pretty fun.
So where are you from?
I wanted to ask, what was the name of the farm? Let's give a plug for the farm.
Oh, yeah.
Terra Una.
Terra Una. Okay.
Yeah. And the website's really easy to navigate. I had no issues whatsoever. And they were super accommodating, because the ride that we did, which was 2.5 to 3 hours, actually isn't offered as one of their rides. They do 1-day rides, 3-day rides, and 7-day rides. And the 1-day ride is actually 7 hours. So it would be like a 2.5-hour ride to a location. And then you'd stop and have a couple hours of like wine and lunch and visit, and then a 2.5-hour ride back. So because there was just two of us and we were in a group of six, four of which were non-horsey people, we had to kind of be like, hey, we can't be gone all day. They accommodated us in making the ride shorter. However, one thing that we did miss out on because of the shorter ride was, if you look on the website, you'll see a lot of pictures of them galloping on the beach. And that is something we didn't get to do, which is heartbreaking, because that is also a dream of mine to do. So we didn't go long enough to be able to do that. But yeah, that would be absolutely incredible.
That sounds really great. You get the beach and you get the mountains and you're close to the city with great accommodations. And
the website, looked it up, and there is lots of pictures of them galloping on the beach with their Lusitanos, but it's Terra, TerraUna.pt. So TerraUna.pt for Portugal. That's the website.
Yeah.
Well, I got to ask you, what else did you do in Portugal?
Oh my gosh, so much. I just got back on Sunday and I'm tired. So much. We kept very busy. We actually, like, this is kind of a horsey thing too. There is a carriage museum in Lisbon that I would also recommend. That was pretty breathtaking. Absolutely outstanding. We went to Sintra. There's a Pina Palace that is pretty incredible. And then a Moorish castle. Let's just put it this way. Lots of castles, lots of palaces, lots of churches.
And we need to go.
I know.
I would recommend it in a heartbeat. It's absolutely stunning. The people are very friendly, very safe. The food is amazing. And light, though, like, we went, we ate out three times a day and never felt gross or sick or puffy or anything like that. The food is very healthy, very light.
What was your favorite thing you ate there?
I had something called a calamari stew. So it was basically like octopus in a stew with potatoes and stuff. But the octopus was honestly you could cut through it with a fork. It yeah. melted in your mouth. It was absolutely incredible. Like, yeah, it was amazing.
That sounds like so much
yeah,
fun.
I would recommend that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was really great.
Okay.
So what did you
that,
think?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound good to me at all. Did you eat any beef?
Yeah.
Glenn.
No, I didn't. I'm actually a pescatarian. So I stuck mostly to fish. Yeah. So fish, prawn, you know, all that stuff.
It was probably the right country Selfish. For that.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, even like my meat eating companions, 90% of their meals was also fish. So yeah, definitely the right country for a seafood lover.
Okay. All right, Glenn. When we
but
go
I do know
trip,
they have really good beef something. In Portugal too. I do know that. So
actually, yeah, I a couple girls, yeah, like Kristen and then a friend of mine that actually happened to be traveling in Portugal at the same time, coincidentally, we met up with her for dinner. They both had veal and ranted and raved about it. They said it was absolutely incredible.
So there you go. I feel better now. I wouldn't starve in Portugal anyway. So.
Yeah. No, you'd be just fine.
You'd
well,
make
Haley,
it.
This is what a cool trip you got to do, and I'm so happy that you got to do it. What would you take away? Was the ride your favorite thing about the whole trip? Do you have a favorite thing when you look back?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely the ride. Yes, 100%, number one. I mean, I was, like, floating on clouds for the rest of the day after that. I mean, the endorphins that I had, like, I don't know if I've ever been that happy. It was so cool. Yeah, it was actually a dream come true. It was a dream come true. I never could have thought in a million years that I'd have that experience.
Well, we'll post a picture in our show notes of you with your pony, and
yeah.
I stole one off your Facebook page. So,
oh, that's perfect. Yeah. Hopefully it's a good one.
And thank you so much for being an auditor and for being part of our inner group too.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. It's such a beautiful community. I absolutely love it. It's amazing.
And I always forget to say where to go to become one. So you just go to horseradionetwork.com, and on the right-hand side of the page, you're going to see where it says Auditors, HRN Auditors. Click on that. And it's very easy to sign up, and you can sign up for as little as $1 a month. You can go up to $25 a month, whatever you see value in, whatever value you get out of our shows, you can put it in there. We don't care what the amount is, and then we'll add you to the group and the community. Thank you, Haley.
And these friends will never get sick of your horse stories, and you can tell them over and over
again. That's right. That's right. That's right. They actually
want
to hear
so
about
much.
Your trip to Portugal. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Haley.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, what an honor. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. So Jennifer is going to get our next auditor on here, going to give her a call. But in the meantime, I wanted to ask you, about trips, you've been all over the world. You've done so many different things. Do you have a favorite place that you've been? I know you got to, you did a very special trip with your dad and you got to go to China. But I know that you've also been all over Europe. You competed everywhere.
My favorite place I've ever been is Ireland, of course.
Really? Yeah.
Oh yeah. I love Ireland because, you know, first of all, the whole country is horsey. Like, those people get me. But it's so fun. Irish people are fun.
They get you, and, like, beer, ale, and horses. It's perfect.
Exactly. And they even in when you're in Dublin, like, I've gone a few years in a row to the Royal Dublin show, mm-hmm. which is this horse show right in the middle of the city. And everybody is just horsey. It's just part of the culture. And, but when you go outside of Dublin, it's still like this beautiful countryside. The riding is fantastic and the weather's great. I mean, the weather is fantastic. Even in the wintertime, it's a little misty, but I mean, even for me, it's not bad. And I'm a wuss. But I just love being around. I love being in that environment where just there's horses and green grass and, you know, that everybody should be riding, you know?
We've always wanted to, we're thinking about that as next year. We're trying to actually think about getting some friends to go along. So you and Kyle have to come. We're thinking about Scotland, Ireland for.
You know what? I actually loved Scotland too. I went to Scotland one time.
We want to see the Royal Edinburgh Tattoo, which is the big bagpipe thing they have there at one of the castles, at the Edinburgh Castle.
Yeah, no, I saw that. It
you
was
did?
Incredible. Yeah.
That's on my, been
because
on my bucket list forever.
My best friend in vet school, she went to the Royal Dick Veterinary College in Edinburgh for her master's. So I went out there a few times to visit her, and I love Edinburgh. It's such a cool city, and you and Jen will love it because you're, you know, all Renaissance.
Yeah.
And there's an old part of the city.
Yeah.
It's super cool with all these little closes.
Well, and that's also why we want to see the tattoo. And for anybody that has no idea what we're talking about, just go to YouTube and look it up and you'll see. it's a spectacle. Is it worth being on my bucket list?
Oh, for sure. Remember, I told you, I thought you should have gone this time. Year,
yeah. Well, we actually have some friends who are interested in going along this year. We thought a Scotland trip would be fun with a group of people, you know?
And I think you should go in the summer.
Yeah, well, the tattoo only happens in August. For 20 days in August. So we'll have to go in August.
That's why I saw it, because I went for the Fringe Festival.
Ah, that's right. That's at the same time.
Yeah, it's super cool. The Fringe Festival is like a performance art festival where people are doing all kinds of performances all over the city. Just you'll find like these little Shakespeare shorts in this little close, which is a little alleyway. And they'll be like running around the city and you follow them around. And I mean, it's all kinds of different things. It's not all like Shakespeare, but there's some other, you know, there's new kind of performance art. And it's just, that's why they call it the Fringe, but it's fun.
Fringe.
There's music. Yeah. It's very Fringe.
Well,
but also the
cool
botanical gardens are incredible in the summer in the UK. Not to be missed.
All right. Well, there you go. Coming from Wendy. So we have a vote for Portugal and we have a vote for Ireland and Scotland.
Yeah, I think if I did this trip to Portugal, I think that might be my new favorite trip.
Well, and we do know there's a lot of carriage stuff in Portugal. So, you know, that would be fun too.
Could you imagine riding Lusitanos on the beach and in the mountains and going around with
you would do the several day trip, wouldn't you? You'd be on the 3-day.
Oh, yeah.
Poor Kyle would be, well, not poor Kyle. He'd be stuck at an alehouse someplace, you know?
No, he could ride his bike.
There you go.
Bike trips.
There you go. Well, speaking of trips, our next auditor she's a brand new auditor, actually. Her name is Jessica Isbrecht. And she put on, when she became a new auditor, we always ask a little bit about the auditors. And she put on there that she's making a lifestyle change. And this is one that I think everybody dreams about doing, but nobody actually ever does. So we're going to talk to her about that today. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you, number one, for becoming an auditor and for being a listener to our shows. We really appreciate that.
You're welcome. I love the show. I've been listening for a few months, and I think I've gotten through a year of archives.
Oh, you only have 7 years to go. You'll be.
No, don't listen to the beginning.
Yeah,
ones.
There were some sound issues in the beginning. So you can go back about 3 years. You'll be fine.
Well, I've got a lot of driving coming up, so I think going back in time will keep me occupied.
You know, and we put out about 80 episodes a month with all the shows, so we should keep you busy a little bit on the road. So you'll be fine. Well, Jessica, all right, so let's hear a little backstory of Jessica and your horse. I know you have a Cleveland Bay right now named Mackenzie, but when did this horse thing start? Give us a little backstory.
Well, that's correct. I grew up on a farm in New Jersey. My mother was breeding thoroughbreds in the 80s. So I grew up riding a homebred off-the-track thoroughbred, and she was quite a handful and taught me to be a very good rider. And I lost her to colic in the early 2000s. I was working, and as most riders who transition to a real life and a real job know, you kind of run out of time to ride. So I spent a few years not riding as much as I had as a kid. And then my mother was diagnosed with a rare form of lymphoma in late 2012, right after my 30th birthday. And it was about 6 weeks after the diagnosis when she passed away.
Yeah,
and at that time, I owned a Premarin filly that was about 6 years old, and my mother owned Mackenzie. So we had always kept the horses at home, And when I realized that I was not going to be able to afford boarding two horses in the state of New Jersey, I sold my filly back to her original owner so that I could keep Mackenzie. And Mackenzie was very special to my mom, so I knew there was no way I was going to be able to let her go.
Plus, Cleveland Bays are just special horses to begin with, and then the fact that she was your mom. So, I mean, that's just a double whammy there. So now there's a life change in the mix, and it does kind of involve your mom a little bit because it involves Mackenzie. And tell us what you're going to do.
Well, my partner, Byron, and I have been together for 5 years. He came into my life at the absolute perfect time. It was right around my 30th birthday and right before my mom got sick. And he stuck with me through it all. And I swear to you, from our first date, we talked about our escape plan for life. We wanted to travel. We wanted to have fun. And at the time, it seemed more like a dream. And now, since losing my mom, I've changed my perspective on life and decided that the standard career track is not necessarily the end all be all. And I should just live life the way that I want to and the way my mom would have wanted to. So what we're planning on doing now is taking off in a camper with the horse as well and traveling around the country to various rural areas where there is both horseback riding opportunities on trails and rock climbing opportunities, because Byron is an avid rock climber and I think he thinks about climbing the way that I think about horses. So we are trying to put our two passions together and live life to the fullest.
Okay, who worries about each other more? He's a rock climber, you're a horse person. Can you even get insurance? Because between the two of you, I mean, geez.
Well, I don't tell the insurance companies what we do.
that's the way to do it. We don't talk about the rock climbing either, do we? Both adrenaline junkies. I love the fact, too, that you've been a farmer for the past 5 years. You've been raising pigs and chickens and turkeys. You basically had green acres.
Yeah, that's right. That was also a reaction to my mother passing away. I had worked in the environmental sector for 8 years before she died and thought that I was on the standard career track. But when she left my life, it left me with a big hole and I needed to do something to reconnect with my rural roots. So I decided that the perfect way to honor her memory would be to start an organic farm, raising chemical-free vegetables as well as healthy, natural, pasture-raised livestock. Because my mother was an animal lover, and so am I really try to focus on treating animals well, even though they are for human consumption.
Okay, so let's be honest. You had pigs, chickens, turkeys, rabbits, ducks, goats, and more. Which was the animal that you owned that you would never own one of again?
That's a hard question. I don't think there is one.
No, okay, good.
I love them
what
all.
What about boy ducks?
They all have...
What about boy ducks?
Yes. Oh, there's a... That's a good point. Geese are pretty brutal as well. I had livestock guardian geese. And they were real characters.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know
Tell
what
me
else,
about
Wendy?
It. You know, yesterday I'm trying to sell a carriage, and I have this goose that I shouldn't... I learned my lesson. You shouldn't imprint geese. And I could not get this goose away from the poor lady looking at the carriage. I learned my lesson. Not good.
Yeah, geese. We had neighbors that had geese, and they would attack everything. They were attack geese, and they would just attack people going by on bikes. I mean, there was everything, and they're big. I mean, they're not like small.
But it's funny when the geese chase people on bikes. Come on. The kids that live on my street love that when the geese chase them on bikes. They laugh and laugh. I can hear them from inside the house.
They won't be laughing when the goose catches them, though.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so you're getting the trailer, and you're gonna. Did I read that you're an endurance rider too?
Yeah, I just started endurance. I had done competitive trail a little bit
on the Cleveland
Bay? I was in 4-H. No, actually, back in my teens when I was a 4-H'er, I did it on my thoroughbred. So just this year, I joined AERC and got hooked up with a mentor and started conditioning and went to my first CTR in April.
How'd it go?
It went pretty well, except I got pulled at the very last vet check because my horse came up lame. Mm. I think that there were just too many hills and we hadn't properly conditioned for hills and she got a little tired and sore.
And that happens to every endurance rider at some point or another.
We had to give her credit, she really didn't show me any signs that she was lame or in pain, but we had to wait an hour for our final vet check. Mm. So even though I kept her walking to try to keep her limber, I think she stiffened up.
Yeah. And you know, that happens. And you must really love Karen's episode of Horses in the Morning then every month, the endurance episode.
I do. I've gone back and listened to as many of them as I can find.
Yeah. Well, and Karen, of course, has put on like 80 million miles on her horses, so she knows a little bit about the sport for sure. And, of course, Jennifer's tried endurance. I just love when people try new things, and you're trying it with a Cleveland Bay, which is even more interesting because it's not an Arab, and I love when people try new things with horses that aren't expected. So good for you. So now, have you sold the farm? Did you own the farm? Are you all in on this? And how long do you plan on going on this road trip?
Well, I've been leasing my farm for the 5 years that I've been in operation. I'm currently in Hillsboro, New Jersey, which is about central to the state. So my life is a little bit more flexible because I don't own land. However, I have tons and tons of farm equipment that I'm divesting myself of and inventory in my freezers that I'm trying to get rid of. I've also inherited my mother's collection of horse tack and equipment, and I've been selling that off and donating it to charities for the last few months. I had enough tack and equipment to outfit a stable of 12.
Oh my gosh.
So trying to narrow that all down and pack it into a 2-horse trailer dressing room has been challenging.
you should put it on the auditor's page.
My gosh. And now do we have a plan or are we just driving?
Well, our plan, we have about a 9 months to 12 month plan in the works at the moment. We don't know how long this lifestyle change is going to last, but we're open to it lasting forever. We're both very minimalistic and, like I said, enjoy traveling. So our goals for this trip are to visit climbing areas and horseback riding areas. So there are quite a few world-class climbing areas in the Northeast here, as well as a few endurance rides through the summer and into the fall. So our first stop is going to be Rumney, New Hampshire. And then from there, we're going to take a 2 to 3 week jaunt up into Maine and then come south along the East Coast in the fall and cut through the Appalachians down to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And from there,
this is amazing.
We're going to sweep across the Southeast and end up in Tucson, Arizona for the winter.
Okay.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, this is like every horse person dreams of this, being free and just traveling with your horse. Nobody actually ever does it, so congratulations on doing it.
Thank you. Well, I've been fluctuating between excitement and sheer panic for the last 2 months.
Well, and you know what? That'll probably continue the whole time, so it'll be fine. And you guys are geeks, too, Wendy. They're both geeks.
I saw that.
Yeah.
You
guys develop apps. You're app developers, right?
Yes, that's mostly Byron's deal. He is a programmer and sells software. So he and I developed a record-keeping app for farmers a few years ago, and then he and a friend are developing digital guidebooks for climbing areas.
I had actually heard of Gunks, which is the digital guidebook. I had actually heard of that before.
Really?
And when I saw he did that, I was like, oh, that's really cool. Because they are becoming very popular. There's ones out there now for hikers, and there's different ones for every discipline pretty much that you want, mountain climbers and climbers of all sorts. And they're becoming more popular, and people are relying on them more and more. So congratulations to him for hitting that niche at the right time.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm also hoping to gather data on this trip and develop a really awesome user-friendly app for people who want to horse camp and trail ride.
Perfect. Well, and you guys have a blog, so let's talk about that.
Sure. We just launched it about a week ago. It's called Ride Climb, for obvious reasons. You can find it at www.rideclimb.com. And we're right now posting a lot about our preparation and what our rig setup is and what our plan is. And then as we go along, we're going to be posting about our destinations, how long we're going to be there. It would be really awesome if we could meet up with friends because I only have one horse, so I'm probably going to be riding by myself a lot. So I would love friends to meet up with on the trail. And like you said, we're both nerds, so we're going to be posting lots of how-to information about planning trips like this and what kind of gear you might need to live a mobile lifestyle.
Well, I'll tell you this. Post it in the auditor room, because we everywhere we travel, we just went to Alaska and met auditors. We were in Seattle and met auditors. The auditors are always looking to meet people, and wherever we have auditors all over the country, so wherever you're going, they'll be there waiting to meet with you. And matter of fact, one of them's writing me right now asking, "What is your rig setup? How are you going to be traveling?"
Good question. We have one truck. And two trailers. So it's going to be interesting.
Are you putting one at each end one behind the other? How are you doing that?
Well, I've heard in some states you can daisy chain trailers,
yeah.
But I would never take that risk.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That seems scary.
Try and stop quick
like
with that setup.
You see on really bad ads.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Try and stop quick with that setup. You'll have one passing you very shortly. So what's...
Oh, that would be terrifying.
Yeah, exactly. So what did you come up with a solution?
We are going to leapfrog, I guess, is one way to describe it. We're going to take our camper trailer, which is a 30-foot long travel trailer, to our base camp destination, which would be a horse campground with hookups and obviously adequate size capabilities for a trailer like this, and we'll drop it off and then come back home, pick up Mackenzie in my little two-horse trailer and take her up to the campground, and we're planning on living in our base camps for 1 to 3 months at a time. And then after we leave New Hampshire, we're going to have our big travel trailer shipped by a professional hauler to Tucson, and then we're going to take our time moving Mackenzie day to day in the two-horse trailer.
Well, very cool.
That's a great
I think it's great, and I happen to know, because I read your blog, that that Byron is a tall guy, so I know that was one of your considerations in getting a travel trailer. He's like 6'3", which is a couple inches on me, and I know that some of those that we look at, I couldn't even stand up in, so I knew that that was something that you really have to look at, too. Nobody wants to be bending over the whole time you're at home.
Yeah, we got very lucky finding one with high ceiling clearances.
Well, this is great. Congratulations on doing what you want to do. And we got to keep in touch with you as you're doing your cross-country stint this year. Okay? Please do that.
Thank you so much. I would love to keep you updated.
Yeah, when you get into a place for like a month and have spent some time there, drop me a note and we'll have you back on and we'll keep track of your travels.
I will.
All right, sounds good. And a website again, where they can find you?
RideClimb.com.
RideClimb.com. There's also the climbing app called Gunks, and then the app to manage small farms and organic farms is VeggieTables. So you can find that as well. Thanks a bunch, Jessica, and we look forward to having you in the auditor room.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. I said at the beginning of the show, and I've said it for 10 years, that every horse person has a story, and we have some of the most amazing stories in our listeners.
Oh,
Wendy, yeah, Wendy, you have to unplug. It's your time of day. Wendy has a Mac, which means she has to unplug her mic or does that about every hour and a half.
Okay. How's this?
Yeah, you're back. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, you know what I wanted to say? I think that this is the huge benefit for the auditors, because look, Jessica's going to have so much fun driving all over the country. But one of the downsides, she was saying, she's like, well, I'm going to be all by myself. I don't have anybody to ride with. So she can just say to the auditors, like, hey, I'm going to be this place. And the ones that are close can come ride with her, or they can say, hey, my friend lives over there or whatever. So she has a network to travel.
That's right.
She doesn't have to like go on Craigslist and
I know the auditors are all the time posting, I'm going to be at this show, who else is going to be there, their little meetups. And and it's part of being with a community, too, that you can trust, that you know you're going to be safe, and that you know that the people you're going to be meeting are not trolls, you know?
And not whack jobs.
Right. So I think that's cool, too. And I know that everywhere we go now, we get to meet with listeners, and that's a whole lot of fun. Well, thank you, Wendy, for joining us today. It's been fun meeting some more of our listeners and also talking to Victoria about the movie, about the film called One Day at onedayhorsefilm.com. Go get that. Learn about our MIMS and all the proceeds for that. Go to the charity. Go to our MIMS Retirement Haven there in Kentucky, doing a good job for broodmares everywhere. And I can't wait to read the book about Elvis Presley. I do want to read that because it just sounds...
You're such a big Elvis fan.
Well, I am not, you know, I wasn't a huge Elvis fan until we went there and learned the story.
I'm not saying of his music or his movies, but you love him as a cool guy. Cool guy.
It's a crazy story. And it's just, you know, who can afford to do what he did? At one point, he had like 120 horses.
Really?
He just would buy everything he saw he liked.
Good for him.
He had money to do that. You can do that. Yeah. And Wendy and I will be back on Thursday, right?
That's right.
And what's our traditional Chinese medicine segment again? We're going to be talking about food.
Talking about feeding your horse seasonally. So the Chinese medicine way of staying in balance with the seasons. You know, the yin and the yang is like hot, cold, blah, blah, blah.
Are we starting with summer? Because that's where we're going to start with summer.
No, I'm going to start with spring. Oh. But if you want, we can start with summer. But it also will have some food ideas for you to keep cool and to stay seasonal.
You mean us people, the riders?
People.
Yes.
Which involves vegetables, Glenn. Oh, so God. You might not like it, but...
Oh, God. It does involve fish. Is there fish there?
No. Okay. No, because horses don't eat fish.
Okay,
we're talking horses.
I'll eat some vegetables. I'll have you know.
I know. You're better. You're much better.
I eat some green things, just not all broccoli. No broccoli. No broccoli.
You don't have to eat broccoli.
Okay, good. Good. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Jamie will be back tomorrow, Wednesday, then Wendy Thursday, and then Jamie again on Friday. Get your really bad ads in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. I don't know what the prize is this month. We got to look that up. So we'll have that for you on Friday as well. And did I forget anything? Or did I forget anything, Jennifer?
I forgot something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Keep the shiny side up.
There you go. See you, everybody.